Grace and peace to you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For many people, the start of a new year comes with New Year's resolutions, with goals or commitments to turn over a new leaf, to change a bad habit, or to begin a good one. In recent years, it has become popular in some circles to choose a word at the beginning of the year. Instead of setting goals to change or improve, choosing a word sets an intention, something to keep in your mind and heart throughout the year. The word might be generosity or peace or mindfulness or hope, whatever a person wants to encourage to grow in their life. I think this practice has been on my mind because when January started, I couldn't think of a word, but recently it has come to me that my word for 2021 is resilience. Throughout the Bible, there is a focus on the power of words, especially the word of God. Words can change things for better or for worse. God speaks the creation into being with words from God's mouth. In Deuteronomy, Moses lifts up the power of God's word, the power of keeping God's word close when he tells the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." By doing this, God's people will keep the reminder of God's presence and blessings always in front of them, always in their mind and heart. Then in the Gospel of John, Jesus himself is described as the Word of God made flesh. Our gospel story today also lifts up the power of words as Jesus offers hope and healing to two very different people. First, there is the Roman centurion. He is a man of power and influence. His messengers describe his power to Jesus as a power to command by words. When he says jump, people jump. But the centurion recognizes that the power of Jesus is far beyond his own. He sends messengers to Jesus and he says, "You don't even need to come all the way to my house. If you just say the word, your will be done and my slave will be healed." Although he is not a part of the Jewish community, the centurion recognizes the power of God in Jesus. And he has a faith that with his words alone, Jesus can heal his slave. And he is right. When the messengers returned home, the slave has recovered. As Jesus and his disciples continue on, they come upon a funeral procession. A widow is burying her only son. This is a tragedy not only for her grief, but for her very livelihood. With neither husband nor son to care for her, this widow's future is precarious. Now, the centurion was an important man who could send others to Jesus on his behalf. He was a man of power and influence in both Roman and Jewish circles. The widow is just the opposite. She is utterly vulnerable, utterly without power or influence. She exists at the very margin of society, someone easy to overlook. And yet, Jesus sees her. He sees and he is moved to compassion by her grief and vulnerability. He says to her, "Do not weep." And then he goes to the bier where the son's body lays. And again, it is his words that bring life and wholeness when he says, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The people are all amazed when the man rises from the bier and begins to speak to his mother. They can see the power of God at work among them, and they give thanks and praise to God. In the church year, we are in the season of Epiphany. It is the season when we explore the revelation of Jesus to the world. We read stories in which his identity and purpose are made known to those around him and to us, the readers of the story. We began the season with the story of the sermon at Nazareth, in which Jesus said that he has come to bring good news and freedom and healing and wholeness. As Luke describes Jesus' encounter with the grieving widow at Nain, he reveals Jesus' power to bring life in the face of death and to offer hope where there is no hope. But Luke offers another image as well. And he offers a word which could well be the word of intention of the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus sees the widow, he has compassion on her, and he acts out of that compassion. Just as he acted in compassion when he healed the man's hand on the Sabbath. During the season of Lent, we will read more parables and stories of compassion and mercy. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the story of Zacchaeus. These are stories that only Luke tells in his effort to reveal Jesus as the one who comes among us to enact God's mercy and compassion in the world. When Luke tells us about Jesus encountering the widow, he says that the Lord is moved with compassion. It's the first time that he uses that title for Jesus. And so Luke connects Jesus' identity and purpose as the Lord with his compassion and mercy. Jesus is Lord, but he is a master whose power comes not from the authority of might and influence and the ability to command, but from the authority of mercy and compassion and justice. What does it mean for us to follow such a Lord? How do we see the God of compassion and mercy among us? When we see the needs of the people around us and are moved by compassion to offer assistance and care, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I can see that compassion at work in this community on a regular basis. Reading the annual report, there are lists and numbers of all the things our community has given in money, in food, in quilts to care for others. Behind each of these numbers are stories. Stories of refugee families resettling in New Mexico, receiving handmade quilts from All Saints and other necessities from all our local church communities. Or stories of homeless families sheltering with Family Promise, receiving assistance for food from faith communities as they prepare to move into independent living in their own homes. I have seen acts of compassion as members of our congregation reach out to care for one another in times of sickness or of crisis. This past Wednesday, I was on a call with 25 other people of faith in Albuquerque to learn more about advocating with our state legislature on behalf of people who are hungry. These people of faith recognize that while sharing what we have by giving our food and money is important, it is also important that we help to create systems by which the people of our state can count on having the food that they need for our families. The people on the call represented at least a dozen different faith communities, but I was particularly pleased and proud that almost a quarter of the participants in the call were from All Saints. This truly is a community that sees and has compassion for the people around us. As people of faith, we are called to follow the God of compassion and mercy by being people of compassion and mercy, people who see the needs around us and respond with both generosity and justice. We have come to know the power of God to bring new life and hope into broken places. And in the light of that hope, we too can bear hope into a broken world, holding the compassion of Jesus as our constant intention. Thanks be to God. Amen.